Welcome in to this week's episode of the Dublin to Denver podcast with me, Colm Cronin, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Stuart Roach. Stuart, the days are getting longer and warmer in Ireland. Unfortunately, that tends to mean that there are less exciting football topics to talk about, but how are you doing this week?
I'm doing well, Colin. The weather, as you say, has picked up considerably here in Ireland, and the evenings are very much getting longer. We're recording this on Wednesday, and it's 6:30 here, and it's still very bright out. So, but as you say, as the evenings grow longer, there is less meaningful football for us to talk about. We haven't even started the Broncos' mini rookie camp. We're a little late to the party on that one. Although, as we were chatting beforehand, it's nice to actually have an interest in the rookie mini camp this year. We didn't really have one for the last 2 years because we didn't really have any rookies because we gave away the farm for Russell Wilson. But that might be the last time we talk about that, Colm, until we discuss the inevitability of the Pittsburgh Steelers being our week one opponents as Russell rides into town and hopefully lays a massive egg. But yeah, no, going well, still, basking in what I'm, still feeling confident was a good draft for the Denver Broncos. And unfortunately, though, Colm, as most people in Broncos country know now, we got sad news last night with the passing of Joe Collier, who was the defensive coordinator for the famed Orange Crush defense and also was the defensive coordinator for the Broncos when they went to the Super Bowl against the Giants and the Super Bowl against the Washington Redskins, as they were called at the time. Unfortunately, Joe lost those three games, but in particular the Orange Crush against the Cowboys, Colin. If you haven't seen that game on YouTube, even though it's painful to watch as a Broncos fan from an offensive point of view, and the defense still performed heroically given the circumstances they found themselves in. So sad news, although he had, as we say over here, he had a fine innings. He was 91, but still, it's always a sad day when a genuine legend of the Denver Broncos franchise passes.
Yeah, absolutely. No matter what age somebody goes, there will be sadness for the loved ones left behind, and what an impact he obviously had on Broncos country. Those were the days, the famed defense that weren't giving up 70 points to Miami Dolphins. I suppose we can talk more on rookie camp next week a little bit. I just will say I'm probably going to be very cynical on this podcast. Probably be cynical until the Broncos prove me wrong, and I want them to prove me wrong.
But I'm cynical until September, Colin. So I'm just saying, oh my god.
And hopefully they will. But I just remember like last year, rookie mini camp. We saw plenty around Riley Moss that, his he was bringing a chip on his shoulder and versatility, which Drew Sanders was going to be outstanding. And Javonte Williams was on course was going to be back to his very best. None of those things, as it turns out, panned out. Again, I hope it will work out for Drew Sanders going into this year, and for Riley Moss. I hope Javonte is back. But anyone, all the stuff at this time of even probably all the entire throughout the entirety of the year, I just use a critical lens. I mean, we will see with the football on the field. That's how you can tell. Equally, when people try to tell you that, players who are performing really well aren't that good. There's always an agenda a lot of the times with these articles. And I just think that there is so much kind of desperation around this at the moment. And some of the Bo Nix stuff that I've seen, Stuart, I was mentioning to you, I saw, talk of his floor being Alex Smith. Now, Alex Smith had a very, very long and a decent career in the NFL, to put it mildly. He was the first overall pick. I think he didn't live up to that, but he did start 167 games. He did play 7 playoff games. He went to the playoffs 7 times. And I think, you know, that is that's pretty impressive if Bo Nix's floor is not a ceiling, but his floor is Alex Smith. I think we will have some player on our hands at that point. The other thing that jumped out to me was Joe Mahoney, I suppose a colleague of ours over at Mile High Report, kind of did a piece around the kind of top college QBs in history in terms of total touchdowns, and it's really interesting, and kudos to Joe for putting it together. But my takeaway from it, Stuart, is that it tells you nothing, like realistically, because you have Joe Burrow is at number 2. You know, he had obviously an exceptional season at LSU, 65 total touchdowns. But number 1 is Bailey Zappi. And so while we hope that obviously Bo Nix will be fantastic, when you consider that, you know, B.J. Simmons ultimately was more successful than Patrick Mahomes in, you know, B.J. in 2003, Patrick Mahomes in 2016, you know, it is so difficult to project. So anyone with telling you with absolute certainty that Bo Nix is going to be a surefire thing, I would distrust them. Equally, anyone telling you that there is no way that Bo Nix can be successful is also not to be trusted. We do not know how Bo Nix will go. I mean, ultimately, that the top 10 in it, Stuart, is Bailey Zappi, Joe Burrow, Colt Brennan, Paul Smith, Johnny Manziel, B.J. Simmons, Marcus Mariota, Chase Clement, David Klingler, Sam Bradford, and then Tim Tebow and Dwayne Haskins. There is your top 12, and it's only when you start to go below that you actually you know, have some very successful players. Patrick Mahomes, obviously the standout at 15 on the list. But I feel that especially now, because there is so much content produced, there is a need to have instantaneous judgment and instantaneous like certainty that it's definitely going to work or it's going to be an abject disaster. And I just don't think we know. I think I live in the land where I hope it is. But for me, until such time as we see it on the field, I just won't know. And I think that is my take. Do you have anything you want to note on any of that, Stuart?
Well, first of all, I think I've maybe heard of about 4 people on that list. And I, you know, would consider myself a fan of the sport outside of the Denver Broncos. I just think, Cole, for me, like, and there's been a lot of back and forth about how, you know, the 6 quarterback picks in the draft has, you know, virtually no chance. And, you know, I do agree with you. I think that people like to speak in definites, and people like to speak in, they like to proclaim that this is the way, this is my opinion, and I'm going to shout it very loudly and you're all going to agree with me. And as you say, the fact is we have absolutely no idea. The one thing that you can take from Bo Nix's past college career is that he's extremely accurate. He gets the ball out on time and he's a very, very quick processor. He tends not to turn over the ball, and he's got a decent, though probably not elite, arm, and he can scramble if he has to, but, you know, he's not Lamar Jackson. So, like, to me, Colin, and I think to most people who are trying to remain calm about the situation, albeit people who are genuinely excited about the fact that it looks like we have potentially a decent and hopefully, you know, floor of Alex Smith type of player. I think my feeling is I liked Bo Nix when I saw him a few times in college when he played for Oregon. He performed well against Washington. He held his own against Michael Penix. I don't really see there being much between the two of them. I mean, I know Nix could have been picked, you know, ahead of Penix. I think most people thought he was going to be. You know, JJ McCarthy, I think this you're kind of banking more on youth and potential there in regards to taking him ahead of Nix. I know Michigan won the national championships, but let's be honest, McCarthy was on a far better team than Bo Nix was. But I think Nix has found himself or has been presented with a good situation. I think Sean Payton looks like he will be able to get a lot out of Bo Nix, and I think Bo Nix will be the beneficiary of an almost certainly Hall of Fame head coach who is considered to be an offensive guru. And, you know, he couldn't have asked for a much better situation. And that's about as much as we know right now, Colin. We're going to have to wait and see. I don't think that we need to lose our minds if Nix throws a couple of interceptions in training camp, which is almost inevitable that he will. I don't think we should lose our minds if Nix flames one to Troy Flanagan or to Marvin Mims Jr., who takes it to the house, you know, with yards after the catch. I think we need to be calm. I think, you know, I understand in some ways, Colin, because it has been so bad for so long that there is an air of excitement about the fact that perhaps we have landed on our franchise quarterback. But time will tell. But no, these sort of bald statements of greatness is imminent or disaster is imminent, you know, they should be treated with derision. Because there's no way, nobody's Mystic Meg, Colin. Nobody's any idea. I think for me, I'm glad that we picked Nix. I think he looks like he's a mature guy. Looks like a guy who's going to work. I like the stuff that happened with, say, for example, Paxton Lynch, Colin, which we somehow failed to pick up on in any of the pre-draft process. You know, you're not going to get that with Nix. By all accounts, he comes across as a very diligent young man. He's very mature. And he's a natural leader, and people on the team in Oregon seem to absolutely adore him. There was an interesting thing, just a side note, that on Nix's pro day, a huge amount of his colleagues turned out to support him that didn't have to be there. Stuff like that, I think, fills me with hope. But again, Colin, it's not really going to matter how many of Nix's mates showed up to support him on his pro day if he cannot execute the offense properly. I do think he is probably a better quarterback for executing Sean Payton's offense than Russell Wilson ever was. I'm not saying Nix is a better quarterback than him. Wilson has obviously got his qualities, as we discovered, unfortunately, in Super Bowl 48. But I do think Nix is a better facilitator of that. And I'm looking forward to the stories coming out from minicamp. I'm looking forward to the real football happening. But I am also steeling myself for what is inevitably going to be a massive overreaction one way or the other, depending on how Nix goes. And also, I think it's important that both you and I are absolutely in agreement. We're talking about Nix. Nix has to start week one. I mean, there's no point in playing with the handbrake on anymore. I mean, unless Stidham absolutely shows something that he's never shown in his career up to this point, and, you know, forget about Zach Wilson. You know, let Nix go. Why not? We've waited long enough. I let him learn on the job. And like, look, as Peyton Manning is always very, very keen to remind anybody, because he's, you know, self-deprecating. I guess it's easy to do that when you've won so many MVPs and Super Bowls and whatever. Peyton Manning had an absolutely diabolical rookie campaign, Colin. And he's literally one of, you know, top five quarterbacks of all time. So I think we all need to just, you know, Let's just take a deep breath. Let it unfold. Let's not go too high or too low. But I realize that, you know, I'm preaching to the converted here, Colin. But I know that Twitter and I mean, the only thing I would say, Colin, is that like most sane people, I probably won't be on Twitter in November with the American presidential election, so maybe I'll miss most of the insanity that surrounds Bronco. It's going to be one of those things. What's actually more insane, the American presidential coverage or the Broncos' reaction to Bo Nix throwing two interceptions and you know, pass for 173 yards or something in week six. I don't know. But look, you know, if Bo Nix's floor is anything close to Alex Smith's, Colm, I think we should be delighted, because Alex Smith was a vastly underrated quarterback who over the last 6 or 7 years, Colm, when you look back, you go, I would have given my left leg to have an Alex Smith as our quarterback in comparison to some of the, you know, some of the guys we trotted out. So yeah, I mean, that statement is you know, it's mind boggling that somebody could claim that without Nix ever even having snapped the ball or taken a snap in the NFL. But I guess it's first of many, Colm, the first of many.
Indeed. I will just say, just in Manning's defense, he obviously did set the rookie record for interceptions. He did at the time set the rookie record for touchdowns as well, which it tells you everything about Peyton Manning, though. You know, and that it is, first seasons are supposed to be for learning. And I think, yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. We've been preaching that forever, Stuart, that Nick should start and that we shouldn't get too carried away early on if it isn't working out. I think ultimately you get a... I think Nick Kendall has kind of been talking about this, I've seen a lot, that ultimately you play about a season and a half and you know within that time frame, realistically, yeah, there's room for growth for it to go wrong or to go right. But ultimately, a season and a half kind of gives you a fair idea of where somebody is at. There might be particular circumstances that, you know, affect a player. But overall, that kind of tells you, I think, where things are at.
Yeah, and I think, Colm, for me, I think a good example of that is Drew Locke. And I don't think he was handled particularly well by Fangio. I think that was an unfortunate marriage, and Fangio was never going to appreciate Locke's talents. But if you look back, and you know what, I was incensed when Teddy Bridgewater was given the job, because it was never a competition in any sort of sense of a fair one. But the warning signs had been there, Colm, in the full season that Locke played. It was kind of the COVID season, that he probably wasn't going to be the quarterback that we hoped he was. And I do agree with you. I think that by the middle of the following season, we'll probably have a much better idea what Bo Nix is like. But I'd even look back, Colm, the time when I thought Jordan Love looked really poor against the Broncos, and that was an okay Broncos defense last year. I mean, we won't even mention the Dolphins game. But you can see a leap of a quarterback even in season. You know, by the time Jordan Love came around to, I think it was the game I really noticed that he'd taken massive steps forward, was against Detroit in Thanksgiving. And Jordan Love looked superb later on, and it took him, and he was somebody who, they went the opposite way with film, Colm, that they had him sitting behind a Hall of Famer for a few years and seasoned him and got him ready for it. And even still, then the early weeks of the season, he looked like a rookie most of the time. So, you know, I think, you know, maybe even if Nix struggles awfully in the first couple of weeks of the season, I still think it's worth persevering with, because, you know, the penny could drop for him, you know, weeks eight, weeks nine. And let's be honest, Colm, the likelihood is we're not going to the playoffs next year anyway. I think by far and away the most important thing for us next year is to try and see if Nix can take those leaps forward, and to see where we're, you know, how settled we are. And also next year, Colm, as well, is the first year in a long time we actually have something approaching a full sort of plethora of draft picks, and that can really help us get back on track. And also, I think Russell Wilson's the albatross that is his dead money hit should be mainly alleviated by next year. So that to me is more important than some fool's gold like last year's playoff run, which, you know, ultimately sort of petered out against a really poor New England Patriots team. Like, a New England Patriots team on the picked third in the draft finished off our playoff chances last year. So, you know, I think next year is about Nix's development more than anything else for me.
Yeah, I'm contractually obliged to point out, Stuart, that the major flaw in Drew Lock was the fact that he lied about the COVID tracker. And that cannot be highlighted enough, because that seems to have flown under the radar for an awful lot of Broncos fans, because at the time, the Broncos media, certainly wherever it came from, ran interference for the Broncos and tried to claim that the players had done nothing wrong. Lindsay Jones was one of the people who highlighted that that was not the case. And then in an in-depth report a few months later, the LA Times highlighted that the players had been caught on camera. So when you get caught lying and put your head coach in a position where you have to start a game with a running back essentially at QB, and then a wide receiver who played QB for a little bit in college has to come in, There is going to be no trust. The issue that they should have moved on from Drew after that season, having the nonsensical competition with Teddy Bridgewater serve nobody and just divided the fan base. I hope maybe lessons are learned from that side of things. I would also say, I suppose, one of the things that it's probably lessened or maybe not as strong perhaps in relation to the Broncos, right? Because Sean Payton is kind of such a force. But I did think, I don't know if you saw this, Stuart, during the week, that Charles Barkley was talking about the media and players in the NBA. And he called out the media members for being cowards and saying that they wanted to be friends with the players, and that the calling them to do their damn jobs, and said that the reason that the Lakers suck and the Suns suck was because of the players, but it was much easier for the media to blame it solely on the coaches. And I just think that is worth keeping in mind again, in that when these reports come out, why are they coming out? Who's leaking it? Who's benefiting? It's always worth asking those questions, because there tends to be a reason that information emerges. Those are the things I kind of wanted to hit on. Was there anything you wanted to bring to the table?
No, just the news before we came on, Colin, that Ben DiNucci's been released by the Broncos, which is no real surprise, I suppose. But it means that the three quarterbacks we're bringing into the season are going to be Zach Wilson, Stidham, and Bo Nix, obviously. So I think, as we just said, without going over all ground, the battle in this hour should be who's QB2 and who's QB3, let's be honest. No, I don't think so, Colin. I guess the only thing was last week, even though we spoke for about 45 minutes, maybe that was me being excited about the fact that we drafted a quarterback in the first round for the first time in ever, forever. We did pick up some interesting college free agents. I think for me, the one that's probably the most exciting is Watson, the running back out of Memphis. Because I think he genuinely has some wheels, and I think he's also a very good pass catcher coming out of the backfield. And I think he is somebody that is worth keeping an eye on. Broncos do have an incredible record of college free agents making the final roster, Colin. So the likelihood is one of these guys will do it. And also there was a safety, I think, that was very highly thought of as well. And safety is a position that's a little bit in flux for us. So it'll be interesting to see who makes it through there, Colin. I mean, let's be honest, people picked round 6 and round 7 traditionally, or certainly in the last couple of years, haven't had a great sort of track record. So maybe an undrafted college free agent is more likely to be the story. There will be a story of training camp, Colin. There always is, and whether or not that somehow manages to last into the regular season, we'll have to wait and see. The odds suggest that he won't. Watson is an interesting pickup, and I think quite a few teams were looking at him. So something of a coup for us to get him, and it's worth, if you haven't had a chance to throw on some of his highlights. I think Memphis, and you'll get an idea of the kind of player he was. And I think it was a bit of a surprise that he actually was undrafted. So I like that pickup.
Yeah, I think the running back room is well worth keeping an eye on, Stuart. I think there could well be movement there. Not for definite, but I don't think anything is fixed. I mean, I think both Perine, Javonte, Jaleel, I think they're all going to have to show up in training camp in order to ensure they're on the 53, because none of them have, you know, enough in the bank in order to say that they should definitely be there. I mean, I wanted to work for Javonte. I really do. I thought he was excellent in that first season. But you have to be worried about what you saw last year. Hopefully he looks much better in training camp. We'll have to see. But equally, I think it is a position where it is, you know, guys who are drafted later, guys who are drafted or who are undrafted can have a real impact. You only have to look at the Chiefs for that and to see to compare their running backs, and who has been the most impactful for them. It's not the guy that they took in the first round who has helped them to win the past two Super Bowls. The other thing, Stuart, that I thought is a little bit interesting, perhaps. And I'm wondering when it will happen. I thought that Justin Simmons would be on another team by now. I thought, okay, maybe after it didn't happen in free agency, I thought that maybe teams were waiting to see the draft and how that would play out. And I thought if certain teams missed out on getting a safety in the draft, that they would pick up Justin Simmons, but that has not happened as yet. And I'm wondering, does that therefore mean that it could potentially be August? I mean, maybe teams are waiting until the kind of due after the 1st of June. And maybe Simmons, is waiting to see who kind of comes calling. He's talented enough and has been around the league for long enough that I think wherever he would end up will be getting an absolute fantastic player and a fantastic character. Are you surprised that we haven't seen him get picked up?
I'm very surprised, Colin, because I think, as you said, he's a phenomenal player and a phenomenal leader. He's also only 30. I mean, I know the safety market this year was depressed, to say the least. 30 is not a bad age for a safety, and there are a lot of contenders that could use some secondary help. So I'm really surprised. I thought somebody would immediately snap him up after the draft. I find it peculiar. Maybe now at this stage they're waiting to see if there's injuries, but certainly on the NFL website, he's ranked the second best available free agent out there at the moment after Stephon Gilmore. And he's also 3 years younger than Gilmore. So, we went out and we signed a safety, Colin. He's not coming back to Denver, but, you know, there are teams out there that absolutely were crying out for a class safety like him. I mean, you'd even think of, say, for example, come the Detroit Lions. I know they addressed their secondary in the draft, but you know, they that was the one area of their team that struggled consistently last year. There's other teams as well. I mean, the Bills let go of Micah Hyde. They brought in people there, but they're not as good as Justin Simmons. And at this stage, Colin, he cannot be asking for that much, because I think the market dictates what you're going to get paid. It's not like he's turning down offers left, right, and center. So, look, you know, maybe by the, you know, Colin, by, if history has taught us anything, is that by the time this is released, as a podcast, Justin Simmons will have signed, presumably with the Cincinnati Bengals or somebody like that. But I hope he goes to a good team, Colin. I think he gave an awful lot here. And frankly, he gave an awful lot on teams that were nowhere near his standard. And a guy like that, you would think, that gave so much to the community and to the team, deserves a shot to at least make the postseason, if not, you know, have a deep run into the playoffs. But I would expect him to be picked up at some point, hopefully soon, because He's just too good a player. And as I say, Colin, 30 is not in any way, shape, or form old for free safety. So I hope he gets picked up soon.
Yeah, ditto on that front. Finally, just to say, I'm just seeing, and I'm looking forward to going through it, over on Twitter, Blue Ridge Bronc 1 has put together a thread of interviews of the from the kind of pre-draft process of all our draft picks. And I think there are undoubtedly some interesting ones in there. Nick's talking to Colin Cowherd. We talked earlier about Sean Payton's connections. Sean Payton and Colin Cowherd are very good friends. I would not be surprised if, Colin maybe had some questions or may have gotten some questions from somebody. And I also see in the list plenty of interviews with Jonah Ellis and with Troy Franklin talking to Connor Rogers, who I have had the good fortune to get to know. A great guy, really, really good. Colin does the draft in college for NBC. And I am looking forward to digging into that thread at some point over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I've watched that Cowherd interview with Bonnie's column. It's really good. And, you cannot help but be impressed by Bonix. Now, there were a couple of softballs probably lobbed in there. You know, a Cowherd can be antagonistic when the mood takes him. So when you know that he's good mates with Peyton, that makes an awful lot of sense. But yeah, it's a good interview, so worth a look. So, I'll dig up some of the other ones. I mean, I'm wondering if anybody released the interview of a red-haired Corkman chatting to a burly running back out of Notre Dame last August/September. I think that surely must be added to that Twitter list. If I can dig it up, I'll send it on to the gentleman, or I'm presuming it's a man, but it could be a woman, sorry, but send it on to that Twitter handle and get that in, because that's also worth it. And he comes across as a good and ebullient character, as does the interviewer, who I think we all know who I'm talking about.
Thank you for the kind words. You can find Stuart over on Twitter at PurpleHeartTC. I'm across social media at Cullum from Cork. If you enjoy the podcast, please do rate, review, subscribe, tell a friend, let people know that we exist. It really does make a difference. We will be back next week. All that remains to be said for right now, it go Broncos.
Go Broncos.